It was such like that. He came up to me and really desired to be saved. And those are the kind of folks that you really say. There's not a whole lot that you really have to do or say. The individual came up to me Saturday after the funeral, and immediately, I thought that they didn't really want anything, and so I kind of kept brushing them off. And waited until I got more important things done. And finally, I had a few moments. I said, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? And the individual started weeping and crying and said, I need to be saved. You know, and when you hear that, it makes you feel bad that you made him wait that long. Amen. But I got a chance to talk with the individual and got a chance to sit down and lead him to Christ right there on the front pew. Right. Sorry. Are we good now, Shane? I put it on mute so you didn't hear all the static, so. All right. I'm a static man. But those are the people that you want to talk to, amen. Well, I'm going to read that letter to you here in just a minute. We're going to talk about objections. But let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go ahead and stand with our Bibles. We're going to read that same scripture that we went to before, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. So let's go ahead and stand as we read those. And then we're going to talk about how to make a visit here in just a moment. And by the way, most of this is and should be reviewed to us. Ephesians chapter 6. But it's just getting back familiarized with how we want to do this. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. And let's read verses 10, 11, and 12. And then skip down to verse number 15. We'll read that one. All right? Everybody there? Let's read together starting verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then come down to verse number 15, talking about the armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So as we're standing strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Paul encourages the Ephesian brethren to be strong and have on this armor. Part of that armor, he said, is to be prepared to give the gospel. By the way, at any time and at every time, we should be prepared to give the gospel. Father, thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Help us now as we look at more ways, Lord, to engage people in conversation. Lord, we know that sometimes we may be timid, sometimes maybe even intimidated. But help us to go with the truth that God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Bless now in the next moments that we have together. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, last time we talked about the objections. Let me read off those objections to you real quick, and then I'm going to read you this letter. And by the way, what I read you may not work for you. The objections were common objections, it was, and that was on page, what page did that start on? Common objectives. 18? 15. All right. Yeah. Common objectives. All right. So dealing with common questions was Roman numeral 2. And then A, common objections. 1, I've always been a Christian. We saw that. Number 2, I've asked God to forgive me many times. Number 3, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. And number 4, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. Number 5, doesn't death end everything? How do we know there is a real heaven and hell? By the way, if death ended everything, there would be no need for anybody to get saved, would there? I mean, there's no reason because there's no hereafter. There's no afterlife. So if death ended everything, it's amazing. You go all the way back to ancient Egypt. Even the Egyptians, being heathenistic as they were, believed in a life hereafter. That's why they would bury Pharaoh with all of his treasures, with all of his slaves, so that when he came and crossed over to the other side, he could have all his slaves and all his treasures. Guess who got the treasures? Treasure hunters. Amen. So they got all that. So much for that. Number 4, I'm good enough. I'm not a bad sinner. Oh, no. We're at 6. I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. And then we talked about number 7. I think as long as I'm sincere in what I believe, that's all that matters. And then B, we didn't cover this, but the deity of Christ, that's B. And then on page 20, his deity is shown through his names. Number two, his deity is shown through his works. Number three, his deity is shown through worship. Number four, his deity is shown through his attributes. Number five, his deity is shown through his resurrection, and then making a soul-winning visit. But before we get to that, I'm going to read you this. This guy, this is his approach to handle objections. Now, this may not work for you. I don't think it would work for me, but I'm going to read it anyway. Remember, we talked about in handling objections, avoid being rude, avoid using man's wisdom and man's philosophy, avoid arguing, avoid belittling beliefs, avoid not using the Bible, avoid your agreements or not agreeing with someone. Make sure that is done with a way where you're not agreeing with error. Okay, this is what he says. Now, again, this style may not work for you, but it's an alternative to handling objections. He says, it's important to understand that everyone will have questions and issues on his mind. Therefore, the proficient soul winner needs to work on ways to handle the objections of his prospect. There are two good ways to do this. He says, one is to learn to stay on track. So in other words, if you're going to stay on track, what would you do? Jeremiah? You're going to have a plan, but if they have a question, well, what are you going to do with your plan? Tweak it? No, you won't tweak it. You'll say, wait till after I get done with my plan. So you stay on track. Now, you're not going to be rude in that, but you just let them know, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan, and I'm going this way. And so he says that you can do that, stay on track. He said, this very simply means that the soul winner asks permission to lay aside the question or issue that is raised until the end of the presentation. He said, however, this is not the method discussed in this column. We will discuss how to answer objections before they are raised. Interesting, huh? How to answer objections before they are raised. He said, a thoughtful study and consideration of this approach will reap great dividends when dealing with others about anything, especially about their need for Christ. He said, the best time to answer an objection is when you're giving your personal testimony. Every soul winning presentation should include the testimony of the soul winner, how he or she came to Christ. By the way, why is that necessary and why is that good to always give your testimony when you're leading someone to Christ? Why is it good? Why is it necessary? It's twofold. Yeah, Brother Joe? Someone may be like you were. Amen. And what else? That is a good one. Someone may be like you were. There's another good reason to give your testimony. Jeremiah? Well, yes, that's true. That's true. But there's something even more profound than that. What do we normally have when we go soul winning? Fear. What does giving your testimony do to your fear? It wipes it out. Why? This really happened to you. So the only thing you're basically doing is telling them a story. The story just happens to be a true story about you. And what normally happens to you when you're telling someone what happened to you? You get excited. I mean, when I'm talking to somebody about when I got saved, when I talked to the young man here on Saturday, I got excited when I started thinking about my own self. I said, look, I was like you. I was like this. And I started getting happy. I wanted to get saved all over again if I could. Amen. You get excited when you start talking about your salvation. So what it does here, it puts you at a position of commanding authority in your fear factor. It goes down. The power of the Spirit now wells up in you, and you are excited about talking to this person because you're beginning to think about, I remember how good it was to be saved. You were like, man, and you're not? You need to get saved. And so it does two things there. It calms your fears a little bit, but then the individual may identify with your story. Anytime I find out that somebody's been a past drinker, a past smoker, a person that's been in jail or something like that, something that I can identify, I will let them know, you know what? I've been where you've been. I know what that feels like. And I say, but let me tell you what happened to me. And I give my testimony. Amen. So he says it'll do some things for you. He says, when dealing with people about their souls, I normally ask, what is your church background and what church were you raised? As soon as they answer, I make a positive statement. Then I instantly give my testimony. He says, in giving our testimonies, we all come to the point where someone will ask if we can show how we can know for sure we're going to heaven. He said, it is at this point that I look at the prospect, smile, and make three important statements about myself. And these are the three things that he says. Now, again, this may not work for you. He said, the first, I don't think it was any of the personal worker's business to even ask me that question. Now, again, he's talking about himself. He says, I would tell them I didn't think it was no prayer. He said, this is what I thought. The second is this. I really didn't know if anybody could know for sure he was going to heaven. Third, and to be honest, I was a smart aleck when I was 19 years old. Those are the three things that he gives in his testimony. Now, when he does those things, again, this may not work for you. This approach would not work for me. Amen. He said those three statements will totally disarm the prospect and remove his objections. He says, try it and you'll see how effective it is. What you have done is to eliminate from his hesitation to respond as well as his objections. He must let you proceed, or he is admitting that he is a smart aleck like you were, or he's being rude by telling you what that it is none of your business, like you mentioned already. And you will forever stop him from turning to you and asking, can a person really know for sure that he's going to heaven? Now, again, it may work for you. It may not. Anybody think it would work for them? I don't think it would work for me because I wasn't a smart aleck, so I couldn't identify with that. And I had legitimate questions. And so he was 19 when he got saved. I wasn't. But anyway, he says that works for him. He said he was at a basketball court and he said he went right into his testimony and some guys asked him some questions. And he did exactly that. He said nobody asked him any more questions after that. Amen. So that is one way. Amen. And I don't think it's a good way, but that's up to you. Amen. Let's go back to our book here. And let's get some things filled out in your book. Making a soul-winning visit. Roman numeral 3. Let's fill that out. Did we fill that out last week? Anybody got that filled out? Page 24. Okay, let's fill those blanks out real quick. Making a soul-winning visit is Roman numeral 3. And that's on page 24. Making a soul-winning visit. That's Roman numeral 3. A, example conversations. Example conversations. Number one, for a door knocking or canvassing visit, introduce yourself. That's simple. Next one, clearly give the name of your church. That's simple. Page 26 at the top, invite them to your church. That's simple. Am I going too fast? 26 in the middle, determine if this is the right time to continue the visit. By the way, that is key. If you don't determine if that's the right time, what will happen? Joe?
They'll get upset, they'll get angry.
We had some door knockers knock on our door just a couple days ago. They were from a Lutheran church, and they knocked on the door. My wife answered the door, and they said, we've got this survey, and it'll take you 2 minutes. Can we have 2 minutes of your time? And my wife said, can we scale? No, wait, no, she didn't say 2 minutes. She said 5 minutes. And my wife said, can we do it in two? She said, yeah, we can do it in two. And the girl gave him the survey. Now, again, they're with the Lutheran church. They're out trying to do some things. Amen. But if you don't get their time consent, you're liable to run them away. I was out door knocking one time and the guy was working on a car and he had hands all in grease. And I had my door hanger there. And do you think I gave the door hanger to the guy? No, I didn't give it to him. Why? His hands are greasy. I said, sir, where can I leave this at so you can get it when you get done? He said, you can leave it right over here. And I said, by the way, I said, do you go to church? And he said, no, I don't. I just moved into the neighborhood. I said, well, my name is Pastor Dawson. This is my son. And he's blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, we're out inviting people to church and trying to get them to know Christ as Savior. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, are you sure you go to heaven? Of course, he didn't know the answer. I said, do you have some time? Of course, he's working on his car. He said, I don't have time right now. He said, well, why don't you come back some other time? Now, quickly as I came, quickly as I left. But I gave him the information. I asked him some questions. If he said I got time, guess what I'm going to do? Make time, amen. But I'm going to afford him that opportunity, even though he's elbow in grease. You don't know. He could have been praying that morning. Lord, bring somebody to show me how to get saved. You really don't know. Okay, going on, 26 at the bottom. Look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Turn the conversation. Middle of 27, exchange contact information. Exchange contact information. And then two underneath there, number B on the next page, practical tips, practical tips. All right, so let's try and see how much of this we can race through real quick. All right, so go back to Roman numeral 3, making a soul-winning visit. Again, if you've never read the story of Jesus with the woman at the well, you need to read that. Go over to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. And reading John chapter number 4 will definitely bless your soul. How many have read that account with Jesus at the, with the woman at the well? Very, very, very good illustration of how to win someone to Christ. Jesus never puts her down. He never belittles her religion and her faith. Well, in a way, I guess he really does. He said, you worship, you know not what. You try and get away with that, I don't think you will. Amen. But he's Jesus, so he can do that. All right, John chapter number 4, and they give us verse number 7. Notice that it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. What is the first thing that Jesus did there in that verse? Jeremiah? Start a conversation. The best thing that you can do is start a conversation. Example conversations is what the book says there. The one thing that you have to understand is that you're knocking on their door, you're on their property, and you're taking up their time. You've got to establish some sort of rapport. Now, I have been to places where I knocked on the door, and as soon as they saw me, they didn't ask me who I was. They just told me where to go. Amen. They told me where to go and how to get there, and I thought, amen. Have a good day, sir. I appreciate that. Anyway, you knock and they open the door and they tell you off right off the bat. What do you do? And you will. I just said, I'm so sorry I disturbed you. God bless you, sir. Have a great day. That's the only thing I can say. I mean, He kind of knew who I was already just because we were walking. Now, it could be the Jehovah's Witness that just left his door. I don't know. It could be the Mormons that just left his door and got him upset. I don't know who just left him, but I know when I got there, he didn't want to have any parts of me and anything that I had to say. Amen. And so the only thing I could say was, Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. Because as soon as he opened up the door, I said, I don't want to hear it. I thought, didn't even say anything yet. Okay. No, just go. Leave me alone. Now, he could have just gotten a bad call from his wife. One of his kids could have just done something unthinkable. I mean, he could have just got fired. I don't know why he was upset, but I know he was. And the one thing you got to understand, don't take it personal. It's not my fault. Whose orders am I obeying? I'm obeying God's. God said, go ye therefore. So, praise God. But you've got to introduce yourself. Notice his disciples, verse 8. His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? To a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. So Jesus right off the bat goes into a dialogue with her and gets her to thinking about her condition of water. What is the drawing card here? Water. What do people need in the Middle East more than anything? Water. What's scarce in Arizona? Water. Pastor White knows he had some real grass in the back and started watering that stuff. Bill went which way? Bill went up. Amen. It costs money to water stuff here. Amen. And so engaging in conversation. So notice in your book, it says making a soul winning visit, example conversations for a door knocking or canvassing visit. Introduce yourself. Notice what Jesus said. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Did Jesus say who he was right off the bat? No, he didn't say who he was right off the bat. Why not? Now, we need to say who we are right off the bat. Just to give y'all that. Yeah, Jeremiah? Didn't get anything fake or get put off. That's true. Anything else? Why didn't he say who he was right off the bat? But he did say, if you knew who I was. In no uncertain terms. Verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. What is Jesus trying to do? To her. stir her curiosity. He's trying to stir. By the way, when you knock on people's door, they're curious as to who you are. When the stranger knocks on your door, aren't you curious as to who they are? You are. You know, what are they doing here? What do they want of me? And why are they knocking on my door? Now, once you find out they're a salesman trying to give you something, then you don't have nothing to do with them. But if you don't know who they are, that curiosity is piqued. Who are they? And what do they want? So Jesus here begins to give her curiosity, pique her curiosity. By the way, we don't have that luxury because we're not Jesus. Amen. So according to number one, we have to introduce ourselves. Amen. And Jesus began to give her the information down there that she needed, which culminated in her asking who he was. And then he told her who he was. Notice down there in verse number 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, what? I that speak unto thee am he. He said, I'm the Messiah. So he finally told her who he was. And so in your book there, for door knocking or canvassing visits, you want to introduce yourselves. Again, you got to understand something, that they didn't invite you there. You're there by yourself. Amen. And so a couple things. So let's go down here real quick. Introduce yourself. It says state your name. And if you have someone with you, state their name as well. Hi, I'm so-and-so. This is my wife, so-and-so. It says if the person you're meeting mentions their name, do your best to remember it. Why is that key, to remember their name? Makes it more personal. And also people will admire hearing their name. Don't y'all like hearing y'all name? Exactly, and that's exactly what it says. It says they took enough interest in me and my name to remember my name. Now, I struggle with names, so I try to really get it plugged in and try to figure out, how can I remember this name? There's some good, easy ways to remember someone's name. Think about somebody that you know. Now think about someone that you knew once upon a time. Think about a boss or a coworker. Think about a favorite team. But try your hardest to get that name. Oh, if they have children, try to get that child's name. If you can get that child's name, that'll win their heart. If you can get that child's name memorized, that'll help you out a whole lot. Introduce yourself. Notice what it says, clearly give the name of your church. Why is that important? Give the name of your church. Amen. If you don't identify the church, what are they going to be left assuming? You're a cult. Amen. You're on the own. Could be the Mormons. You could be Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, you could be from the Rock of Holiness. They don't have a clue who you are. Amen. Let them know who you are. And by the way, if they say, oh, that church over there, make sure they pinpoint your church. Because guess what? There's a church right down here at the corner, Morningside. That's not us. There's another one over here. Where am I at here? By Kellogg's house. Was it that little Spanish church? There's the East Side Assembly of God over there. Make sure you say not the East Side Assembly of God, not the big one. It's the beige and burgundy building. And most folks know that. I had a guy come out to my house all the way out in Vail to do some work. And I said, hey, look, why don't you come on down and pay us a visit? I began witnessing to him. He said, I know where that's at. I said, where's that at? He says, down on 26th Street. I said, yeah. I said, what color is the building? He said, it's beige and burgundy. I said, does it have a gate around it? He said, yeah, it's got a burgundy gate. I said, it got rocks out in front. He said, yeah. I said, that's our church. I said, how you know where our church is at? He said, I work for Cox. He said, I'm down that area all the time. And I thought, amen. I said, well, you need to come stop driving by it. Amen. But it does something when you do that. Amen. So clearly give the name of your church. Amen. Notice what he says down there. This helps alleviate fear in my listener that I'm a Jehovah's Witness from another. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness from another church representing a political candidate or something like that. They know exactly who you're from. Flip it over to another page there. The top of page 26. Invite them to your church. By the way, will you always get a chance to give the gospel? No. But you can most times invite them to church. Why will you most times not get a chance to give them the gospel? Why will you most times not get a chance to give the gospel? Joe?
Mm-hmm. So we didn't get
Amen. Giving the gospel takes a little bit more time. Now, sometimes it doesn't. When I got the chance on Saturday, I had already given the gospel out, so the person was already ready. And so giving the gospel oftentimes may take a little bit more of a rapport, a little bit more of a relationship. My wife had an appointment the other day with one of the doctors that she's working with. She got a chance to give the doctor the gospel and put the question to the doctor. Therapist. And the therapist said, you know, I've been spiritual all my life, but nobody never asked me that question. And now she's thinking. She's thinking. And my wife just hit the, because she had told me, she said, look, she said, I've been meeting with this lady, and I'm going to put the question to her today. She said, pray for me. And she said, I'm waiting for the right time. And the woman's got a grandmother out in San Diego's getting ready to die. And so she said, hey, I'm going to talk to her today. And she gave her the gospel, and the girl's thinking about it now. So you may not always get a chance, but you can always invite him out to church. Notice what it says down there. Determine if this is the right time for the visit. Again, what does that do? That makes sure that you can free them up in case they have an engagement. The last thing you want to do is box them in if they have something going on. I mean, think about it. You got some food on the oven or something like that cooking. I mean, the last thing you want to do is get the food to burn up in the oven. Amen. The timer's going off. And can I go check the timer? No, you need to get saved. Now, what's more important, the food burning or the person getting saved? Now, of course, we know getting saved. But if they know something is burning in the house, that's not going to help them. Amen. And so you got to really determine if it's a good time to visit. And those who says, look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Look for an opportunity to turn the conversation to visit. By the way, if you don't have time, make sure you leave a track or a gospel invitation. Give them a personal invitation to come out and be your guest. This is one thing that I always tell people. If I don't have time, I say, I would love for you to come out and be my personal guest. What does that do? Makes them feel good, and I want them to be with me. Most folks are intimidated to come someplace where they don't know anybody. Most folks are intimidated. But if you say, hey, why don't you come out and be my personal guest? That changes the whole dynamics. And I want you to sit next to me. Normally I'll say, now I'm going to be preaching, so you can't sit next to me unless you want to sit up front. Of course, that makes them laugh. I say, now I don't mind you sitting up front. And then they start laughing. What's that? Oh, 5 minutes? Okay, amen. We have to wrap this up. Normally I'll say something like that. I say, now I want you to be my personal guest. I say, I want you to sit next to us. And I say, do you have a problem with sitting up front next to me whilst I'm preaching? And most of them will start laughing and say, yeah. I said, I'm just picking at you. I said, I wouldn't have you sit up front. I said, but you can sit next to my wife and my children. I said, they'll be there at the church. I said, we'd love to have you come and be our special guest. I said, now, if you really want to sit up front, I don't mind you sitting up front. And of course, that makes them chuckle. And so leave a track. Give them an invitation. Make sure you let them know that you want them to be your personal guest. Create a sense in their heart that you care about them because you do want them to be saved. And then one of the things that you always want to do, and most of us don't have a problem with this, leave before you wear out the welcome. Leave before you wear out the welcome. Amen. You want to make sure that the door is open for future visits. Amen. So keep that in mind. Amen. And we'll pick up with looking for opportunities to turn the conversation next week. Think about that, though. How can you turn a conversation spiritual? It's easier than you think. It's actually a lot easier than you think, but that's what we're going to pick up with next week. And we're going to come up with ways that we can turn conversations spiritual, because you want to try to get to the place where you have been such a good listener that you can go back and say, now, just for a moment, you said, and then pick up with it. They might have said, I was Catholic. They may have said, I used to go to church. They may have said, my grandfather had this Bible. They may have said, well, you know, I stopped going to church years ago. They may have said something. But you have been such a good listener that you can turn that conversation and say, you know what, a while back, you told me your grandfather went to church. Did you go with him? Well, no, I didn't go with him because he lived over here. Did you go with anybody? Well, yeah, I went over here, but they made me mad. They did. Well, you know, people are going to make us mad everywhere. But let me tell you one person that won't make you mad. His name is Jesus. You have a few minutes, I can tell you a little bit more about him. And you can just turn that conversation. So being a good soul winner means you got to be a good listener. A good listener. Because you want to catch something that they said and introduce it with the gospel. If you haven't listened to anything they said, it's not going to help. So be a good listener. So we'll pick up with that next week, looking for an opportunity to turn the conversation, because that's ultimately what it's going to boil down to. By the way, the kids are going to be coming in here. If you want to stay in here, that's fine, but please keep the chatter down. If you can stay in here, it would aid the children to have somebody they can look at so that when Saturday, Sunday comes, they're not stage fright. Amen. Men, if you can help Pastor White, that'd be great, getting set up next door as well. And we're going to go ahead and close with that. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to look more at being, Lord, soul winners. And Lord, we know that we need to go. But Lord, help us when we go to go with confidence, to go with our compassion, to go with conviction, Lord, to go with the attitude of, Lord, we know what we're doing. We're going with a plan. Lord, we feel more confident in the gospel message that you've given us. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now the men as we go out this coming up Saturday, and some ladies as they come out with us as well, that, Lord, we can do some great things for you. Then, Lord, help out with Mrs. Dawson giving out the message on Saturday as well. Thank you for loving us. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Give the children a good practice in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.